White Castle had this big Valentine's Day tradition where it was an in-person event that turned the chain restaurant into a fine dining establishment, complete with hostess seating, tableside service, and festive holiday decor for Valentine's Day. They're killing it off. It says the Omicron variant's thrown a wrench into that traditionally major night, not only for restaurants, but also the oldest fast food chain has announced it will be canceling its big celebration of the holiday. Again, it's a Valentine's meal for two. This is a picture of what it looked like there. You know, you got a whole bunch of sliders there and beverages and the fries and all that other kind of stuff. You can order it still, but you can't, go in and do the sit down tablecloth dinner there at White Castle. All right, now, okay, we're going to get to something that I don't know if it'll appeal.
I'm going to guess this isn't chicken Whopper.
It's in the neighborhood.
Oh.
That's why I thought it might.
Okay.
Let me start with this premise. It's not Burger King.
Okay.
All right. What was the... Describe for folks...
Two for
I've
two?
I've had several people say to me... I've heard Jeff say that ever since Burger King dumped the chicken Whopper, he's not going back. What was the chicken Whopper? There are a lot of people who don't even remember what the chicken Whopper was.
Exactly what is on a Whopper, right? Picture the Whopper just as is.
Yep.
But instead of the beef patty, it's chicken breast.
Okay. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah.
The fried chicken breast.
The grill.
Right.
I'll tell you this. The chicken, the grilled chicken sandwich at Brahms.
Yep.
It's
most
right
closely
there.
Approximates
it. It is real close. It's right there.
What about the grilled chicken sandwich at Whataburger?
No.
Okay.
Totally different.
Okay. All right. Here's why I bring it up. McDonald's. Okay.
Okay.
Is going to launch. I heard Aaron talking about it this morning. I had already researched it. The Chicken Big Mac.
Okay.
Oh.
All right. The Chicken.
Here's
Big
the million-dollar question.
Thousand Island?
All right, so here's the thing. Here's the thing. We all know what the Big Mac's theme was. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on a sesame street bun. That's it. Okay? So here's the deal. They're going to launch a chicken version of the Big Mac. Here's the bad news. At least for now, on the trial basis, it's going to be in the U.K. only.
Right.
But possible it could wind up there in this country. The Chicken Big Mac followed a high number of requests from customers. It described the burger, as they call it, as the classic Big Mac we all know and love, complete with the triple-layered bun. It'll have the special sauce, cheese, lettuce, pickles on the sesame seed bun with two 100% chicken breast patties.
Okay, we're talking about breaded or grilled?
This looks...
The important question.
This looks breaded to me.
Okay,
it doesn't
that
look
was
grilled.
The $64,000 question. Breaded, I'm probably not going to be on board.
Okay.
If it was grilled, now we might be talking.
All right.
Now I'm interested.
Now, they said the addition of the Chicken Big Mac followed all of these requests, and the Double Big Mac, the Mozzarella Dippers, and the McFlurry in Galaxy Chocolate and Galaxy Salted Caramel also will be returning, while the recently introduced, I know this has no interest from you all, the McPlant, will become a permanent fixture in restaurants across the pond in the UK and Ireland.
Dude.
Yeah, the McPlant. They're just calling it the McPlant. Now, I've got one more McDonald's update for you here. McDonald's is doing some fan-made menu hacks as well they're going to try. On the app, see if any of these appeal to you. For breakfast, the hash brown McMuffin, sausage McMuffin, and hash brown for an extra crunch. It's kind of like that Whataburger breakfast burger.
So you're just putting the hash brown on the sandwich.
Which is good, by the way.
All right. Let me appeal to Snoop on this. I think some of these might appeal to you, Snoop. They have something, a fan hack called the Crunchy Double, an order of six-piece nuggets inserted into a double cheeseburger same sandwich.
That sounds wild.
Okay.
All right. The Land, Air, and Sea. A chicken sandwich, a Big Mac, and a filet of fish.
I like that.
All on one bun. And then Bucky kind of said, why don't they have, they have the Surf and Turf, a double cheeseburger with a filet of fish. Only available on the app or through delivery. Would that interest you, Snoop? The Surf and Turf.
Yeah, I'll try it.
Fillet fish with a double cheeseburger.
I have to try it. I definitely will get three of this on separate buns, though.
So there you go.
Does McDonald's put the tartare sauce on the fillet fish?
Yes. Love it.
I do.
It's good.
I don't think I've ever had a fillet fish.
What?
That's good.
I really don't think I have.
If you like that. All right. So there it is. Some fan-made menu hacks and the Chicken Big Mac, if you're in England anyway. Maybe back here in the States at some point. Hour number two of Light the Tower coming up.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. Snoop Daniel alongside. Glad to have you with us as well. First hour of the program, we discussed the Longhorn basketball victory. We're going to hear from Brock Cunningham here in a few moments. Still need to talk some NFL since there's an additional coaching vacancy now. See if Jeff and Snoop, longtime suffering Cowboy fans, are buying the conspiracy theory of Sean Payton becoming the once and future or the future head coach of the Cowboys. We have another Longhorn notebook this hour. So we're going to get to all of that. However, first, some cleanup from our number one, our good friend Tom, Emily Wolfman, weighing in. We were talking a lot of fast food there. And had loaded up the song White Castle Blues from the Smithereens. It was good. And mentioned the cloth tables there. T-Bone says, I had White Castle while in Vegas a couple of times. Great after a dozen beers, I dare say. Someone else said, didn't KFC already make the Chicken Big Mac and it was called the Double Down? That was the one that didn't have the bun. The Double Down, where it was just the, wasn't it? Where you just had the, it was the chicken was like the bun and then chicken inside. It was just all greasy and whatever. I don't think
that
it
was
worked.
The chicken sandwich that I, the fast food chicken sandwich I had that I couldn't remember what it was. Because, you know, like everybody's trying to do their take on the Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Sure.
Like Popeyes did theirs, McDonald's has done theirs.
And KFC has a different reworked chicken sandwich now, which is much more like the Popeyes or
they've
one
got
of the
that.
Other.
Yeah, that was the one I had.
But they had the one where it was just all chicken. It was like the bun part was chicken.
You ever notice, I think, I don't know if I said this with you here, Craig, but I know I've said it with Snoop and I here. You ever notice how different the food discussions are between this show and the next show?
I love that. And that's sometimes by my design, because I know where the food purists and the cleansing purists, you know, Trey Elling's going to go. I know that.
I mean, I applaud Trey for eating healthy, but I mean, brought his own greens to the Christmas party.
Yeah, absolutely did. Somebody else points out P. Terry's chicken burger, kind of a ground chicken patty. Says hard to beat.
I think P. Terry's is hellaciously overrated, if you're asking me.
Somebody says break up a hash brown, put it in the McDonald's breakfast burrito. You could do that. Someone who worked overseas for 10 years. In Dubai, Kuwait, Iraq, and Afghanistan, Chicken Big Mac has been out over there since a lot of these countries don't eat beef. Good point.
Mm.
Truck driver in Shiner says Friday's fried chicken, and they have the Cock and Bull, which is a hamburger with a fried chicken breast with the beef patty, only about 200 to 300 yards from the Spetzel Brewery, right there in the middle of downtown
fried
Shiner.
Fried chicken breast with the beef patty. That's
the
too
Cock
much,
and Bull.
Man. That's too much.
Yeah. CB says they got Popeyes up there in Seattle in the Great Northwest. That's good. And Victor tried White Castle while in Louisville, Kentucky. Only problem, one of those foods you keep burping and tasting for hours afterwards. Well, that happens a lot. There's definitely.
You get to Stoner telling me.
Stoner! I love Stoners. Jeff revealed, I mean, this might be right up there with Rod Babers saying he never had vanilla ice cream before, you know, because he doesn't do white condiments. And Stoner goes, Jeff, because Jeff revealed he'd never had a filet-o-fish sandwich from McDonald's. Jeff, what are you even doing? Get a filet-o-fish immediately or turn in your fat guy card. Also,
membership card that I carry in my wallet.
Also,
I am fat, but
where does the Wada chicken fit in the chicken Whopper scale? I never had one.
It's different.
Well, there's two different. Whataburger has two different ones. They have the Wada chicken, which is the breaded chicken breast sandwich. And then they have the grilled chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm.
And it's totally different.
Yeah, those are different things. But you're saying it's different than the chicken Whopper.
The closest thing to the chicken Whopper, and it honestly, it might be, depending on when you get it, where you get it, it might even be better, is the Brahms grilled chicken sandwich.
Somebody said the McDonald's hamburger in Ireland was really good. It's made from actual beef.
Why are you going to go to Ireland and eat McDonald's?
Yeah. While over there. No, I did it I did it in The Hague in the Netherlands once because we were with a tour group at one point. Laurie and I were, and it stopped in The Hague, or as the tour guy called it, Den Haag. So we stopped in Den Haag, and we got out, and it was like we had an hour, and like, where do we go to eat that we know we can get in? Oh, there's a McDonald's.
We said, we'll give it a shot. Yeah, there are some times where you either by force or by choice have to eat chain when you're out.
Yep.
Like, Tamara and I, we went to New York. This is 10 years ago this spring, we went to New York. And it was one of those days, you know, we're on the subway, we're going to different places, we're so damn hungry, and I turn the corner, and there's a Sbarro right there. I was like, screw it, I don't care. I'm starving. Let's go get some
Sbarro
food.
Sbarro it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's that. A couple other things. Somebody says, Jeff, we've had this discussion, the Burger King chicken sandwiches on the market right now. I know you're not for those. Somebody says, Five Guys severely underrated for their chicken? I didn't know that. Somebody said, P. Terry's is legit. How dare you? Mr. Howe, it can never be too much, says the truck driver who was telling us about the place.
Oh, no, man.
At Friday's Fried Chicken there in Shiner with the cock and bull. It can never be too much. That's like Ferris Bueller. Rule number one, you can never go too far.
What would get me with the filet-o-fish sandwich is the tartar sauce.
You can get it without it.
Yeah, but just going to get a dried fish sandwich?
It has a slice of cheese on it.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't.
And you could dump some ketchup on it if you're one of those people who needs to put ketchup on fish.
I'll defer here to, now that BK is no longer in the building, I'll defer to the Horns fast food connoisseur, Snoop Daniel. You're saying filet of fish, I need the tartar sauce on it?
So, yeah. It's.
I get it with the extra.
Yeah, extra. Thank you.
I usually like a little fish to go with my tartar sauce. Yeah. It's good. You know me. I'm a condiment king. I love
the side of it.
If I go extra tartar sauce, I need to make sure we're not like we were, about 2 years ago, where there's a massive toilet paper shortage. If you know what I mean? It does something to my innards.
Okay.
Unspeakable.
Well, you turned me on to Herbert's Taco Hut in San Marcos.
Hell yeah!
Love me some Herbert's when I go through there. Get that lunch special.
Those enchiladas, man.
Yeah. So I'm just telling you. Stoner says, trust me, I carry my fat guy card everywhere, right around my waist. Golf Lingo says there's 71 ingredients in the filet of fish sandwich. Quality seafood on airport is the better choice. Been there, Golf Lingo, right across the street from Leif Johnson Ford. Been there, absolutely. 71. And somebody else pointed their fantastic sub shop by Fenway Park. Of course, if you're up there, Lynn and I went to see Billy Joel at Fenway Park last summer. I had to have a lobster roll.
So, yeah.
And then when you get to the ballpark, you have yourself a Fenway Frank. Fenway Frank there at the ballpark. Somebody said, I ate a McCroissant breakfast sandwich and a McDonald's, and I guess it's Tubing in Germany during the summer of 97. Delicious. I wish they had that here. CB says we buy the Chick-fil-A sauce at Walmart, and the CW birthday twin there from 916 says love Herbert's. Yeah, yeah. Well, Jeff's the one who turned me on to Herbert's.
It's my favorite Mexican
place.
And I always, now,
it is an absolute must do when I go down to do the baseball game when Texas plays in San Marcos against Texas State, because they always play them at least once there. Last year, he played them there twice. I had to go to Herbert's for lunch twice, because it's not far from the ballpark either.
No, especially now that I'm back living in the 666, the trips to Herbert's are a little more frequent than they were when I was living in
Buffalo. More submissions. The Five Guys cheese dog with a burger patty added. Wow.
Dude, that's... Man.
Somebody says, get a lobster roll at Garrett's in Portland, Maine. Next time I'm up there, bye-bye. And it'll go up there to Portland, Maine. I'll go by there. Jeff, use hot sauce on the McDonald's fish. Works for me.
I got to be careful with the hot stuff. Got to be careful with it.
How do you get extra tartar sauce and flavor? You the natural amount there already squeezes out on your first bite. Nowadays, I ask to leave the cheese off because I don't like American cheese and it doesn't melt. Greg, have you been to Joe's Cafe on Cesar Chavez? I have. Enjoy it. White Rabbit's guru telling Snoop that the Arby's and Lamar about to reopen, Snoop.
Oh.
We had that discussion a couple of weeks ago. Truck driver says, I'm not a fat guy, but I eat like one. And so somebody says, I had the McGangbang in college. Said, yeah. No, well, wait a minute now. 1 year when I was up there, Texas against Andy. It's a McDouble. It's a McDouble with hot and spicy in the middle. I was like, jeez. WTF is this? So it's a hot and spicy chicken sandwich in the middle of a McDouble. That's why it's called that.
I always love sometimes, Greg, when you read the text line of that, and I can see what it is before you're going to say it, and I just look at Snoop because I want to hear you say it, and I want to see Snoop's reaction to you reading some of the stuff on the text line. That's some of the best parts of this show.
McG Bang.
Yeah, the McG Bang. Okay. Other submissions, when you're in Elgin next time, go to Azteca. Best food in Elgin, hands minus the barbecue, of course. Grant number two says you can get a lobster roll at Mason's on Congress Avenue. May have to do that. Somebody else about Fridays and Shiner also have Bock wings dipped in the Shiner Bock sauce or Shiner Bock beer. And somebody said they just had Herbert's for the first time last night. So there it is. There's some fast food submissions amidst the revelation this morning that McDonald's is launching a Chicken Big Mac, at least in the UK for the time being.
We can do one of two things, Greg.
Well, we got Brock Cunningham to go.
Well, I was going
to
say, we can get to Brock now, or we can
is that part of the update?
Make Brock the part of the notebook.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
That'll work.
The NFL coaching carousel continues. Yesterday, you had Sean Payton checking out for a while. I think everybody on the planet expects him to be back in the game. He didn't say he was leaving coaching. He said he could see a future in football that might still involve coaching. All that tells me is he needs a break.
He's got to get ready to promote that Netflix movie coming out where Kevin James plays him.
Oh, yeah.
For
his
1 year off.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if I'm Sean Payton, I'm pissed at that casting decision.
Are you?
Sean Payton looks nothing like Kevin James.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin James.
I understand you need some slapstick, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect him to be on. I expect Sean Payton to do the Bruce Arians route. Go network television for a year. And he might like it and want to stay, but I think the itch is going to want to. And then, of course, and this is where I defer to you two long-suffering Cowboys fans. You know, there's a lot of folks that are on the conspiracy bandwagon who say this is 1 year away, if not sooner, from him becoming the next head coach of the Cowboys. I don't think Jerry does anything with Mike McCarthy right now. I think they go, because otherwise, then you're starting to get into the whole tampering thing and stuff like that, and there's money still on the contract there in New Orleans.
That's the biggest part of it that I've heard people talk about. I don't think it gets talked about enough. So if Sean Payton decides he wants to coach, he's still got 3 years left on his contract.
Yep.
If he decides he wants to coach, the franchise he goes to, you've got to give the Saints compensation.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm going to go ahead and guess if Sean Payton were to go try to coach the Cowboys, I'm guessing the Saints would ask for damn near everything short of ownership of the franchise. Basically anything they could possibly ask for.
Yeah.
In terms of compensation. It'll be like what
the Raiders wanted from Tampa Bay for Gruden again.
Yeah, I've heard enough Cowboys reporters say it would be probably at the very least two number ones. And I just don't think, Craig, at this point, with the way franchises are structured, I don't think Sean Payton's worth giving up that kind of draft cap. I don't think any coach, other than maybe Bill Belichick, is worth giving up that kind of draft capital to get.
Yeah,
when you talk about at least two number ones, and it's going to be more than that.
Give it 3 weeks and see if Sean McVay's name gets put into that. He's got to win a Super Bowl.
If you're Jerry Jones
or Kyle Shanahan, by the way,
right? If you're gonna wait, and you say you'll stick with McCarthy for another year, and then you'll do it next offseason. Well, if you're already hell bent on doing it, why not just do it now?
Yeah.
What's the point? And I'm not defending Mike McCarthy with this. But if you look at the resumes of Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton, on paper, they're pretty much the same guy. Now, the difference, obviously, is in terms of division titles won, regular season games won, playoff wins. I actually think McCarthy has more playoff wins than Payton. They both got a Super Bowl.
But there is, and you know this, this cloud that hangs over McCarthy that I've heard it described in Dallas as being coaching idiocy. That that here's a guy who is viewed as a guy who was along for the ride because of a great staff, and therefore, even in their Super Bowl win over Pittsburgh, that it was largely discounted, that it was not of his doing. Now, it's easy to say that years later to do that, but there was a time when Mike McCarthy was looked at as being an elite coach coming off that Super Bowl win and several division titles and things like that, that he was viewed in that prism. No longer.
No.
That for sure. No longer.
And I think you got to look back at the reason he was fired in Green Bay. The offense had gotten stale.
Yeah.
His relationship with Aaron Rodgers had soured. And what was the big problem we talked about with the Cowboys? Against the lesser teams they played, they were an elite offense.
Yep.
When the talent level evened out, or the other team had an elite aspect like the 49ers with their defensive line, their offensive line was overwhelmed. Things were really difficult for Dak Prescott, and I've got my own thoughts on Dak Prescott. I think he's doing a better job than people give him credit for because of the structure of that offense is just so wonky. It's no different. What I saw from Dak Prescott this season reminded me a lot of what we saw with Sam Ehlinger in 2020.
Yeah,
you're asking him to do a whole hell of a lot to be successful because the structure of your offense is unsound.
True.
That's the difference between McCarthy and Payton. If you hire Sean Payton, you're getting a guy cutting edge offensively, very innovative. If you've got different tools, similar, not that all that different from what we see with Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay or all these different offensive-minded coaches in football that understand where the game is now and how football, especially on the offensive side, we've talked about defensively for years, but now offensively, it really is positionless football. Like, Craig, I can't tell you how many times I've watched Rams games the last couple of years, and Taylor, you talk about any time you watch the 49ers play. They put Deebo Samuel in the backfield. Like, you know he's getting the ball, right?
Yeah.
Anytime I've seen the Rams put Robert Woods in motion, I'm like, they're handing it to him on a jet sweep. Like, how does nobody stop this? He gets like 10, 12 yards every time you give him the ball on a jet sweep, and nobody can figure that out. So it's about making use of your weapons. I guarantee you, if Sean Payton was coaching the Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb gets more than one catch in that wild card game.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between the two, is he does give you more of a schematic advantage. I think with Mike McCarthy, they did get sold a bill of goods with what Mike McCarthy did in the barn and studying tape and all that fun stuff.
Here, this might be the best suggestion of all with regard to the film, said Jeremy Renner should play Sean Payton instead. I think it'd be a great call.
He's a little bit busy right now, but that would make a lot more sense than Kevin James.
Yeah.
And I love me some Kevin James. I love King of Queens.
Yeah.
Just saying, Sean Payton, probably like, you get the fat guy from King of Queens to play me in a movie? Seriously?
CB says, for the Cowboys, get Sean Payton with the Saints. Ask for what they gave up to get Ricky Williams. A good point. And then somebody else said, I'd rather the Cowboys get Shanahan or McVay than Payton. I don't know that either of those franchises, that those guys would want to leave for
Cowboys
Dallas.
Cowboys fans, why do you do this to yourselves?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, let's go get Mike Tomlin. Hey, Bill Cowher's available. Yeah. Go get him. No. That doesn't work like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many coaches, the difference with Sean Payton is when we talk about the sideshow with the Cowboys, that there aren't a lot of people that would sign up for that. Sean Payton knows the deal there because he was in Dallas with Bill Parcells. He understands the organizational structure. So at least he's got a glimpse from the inside on what it's like to work for the Jones family.
Right, exactly. Some things to keep in mind. All right, up next, we have a Longhorn Notebook. We'll hear from Brock Cunningham and some other notes as well as we continue to light the tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Remember, I've been hit by the White Castle.
We were talking about some White Castle early, so there you go with those White Castle blues. Craig Ray, Jeff Howe with you. Snoop Daniel alongside here on Light the Tower. Lots of fast food discussion because of the McDonald's announcement earlier today. Quickly to the Specs text line, and this is about the Cowboys. White Rabbit's guru saying McCarthy needs to head back to the barn and watch the film on Matthew Stafford on how to clock the ball. CB says, remember when everyone thought Jerry would hire Lincoln Riley? That never happened. Nope. And earlier about the question about the Cowboys rather get the Cowboys get Shanahan McVay than Payton. He said, I'm not saying Shanahan or McVay would come. I'm just saying if you're giving up something, I'd rather it be a younger coach. That's a, you know, that's a salient point. But
I'll channel my inner Mac Brown, and that's fair.
And that's fair. Yeah, it is indeed. All right, it's time now for the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Final rankings getting done, recruiting rankings getting done today, our in-house rankings of 24/7 Sports.
Final.
So just had our five-star reveal. One, and then these are our in-house rankings, so it doesn't affect, it will affect the composite, but there's two different sets of rankings. And again, we have 32, in 24/7 Sports, 32 guys we give a five-star designation to represent 32 first-round picks in the NFL draft. Of the signees, Texas does have one five-star. That's Kelvin Banks, the big offensive tackle out of Humble Summer Creek, coming in at number 30 overall, one of the top offensive tackle prospects in the country. He was elevated to five-star status for this release. He's been a five-star in the composite, but now he's a five-star in our in-house rankings. And among the prospects, Texas is still targeting Devon Campbell, the five-star offensive lineman out of Arlington Bowie, checking in at number 21 overall.
If you have a good feeling about him signing with Texas.
Yeah. All signs, you know, Mike Roach has been on top of that, our recruiting editor, Horns 24/7. It still sounds like everything is trending Texas. Oklahoma still hanging in there. Bill Biedenboe hanging around on staff has helped them stay in that thing. But definitely, if I had to pick right now, I would say it would be Texas for Devon Campbell. Also, in case you want to follow it, Longhorn fans, I probably wouldn't hold your breath, Harold Perkins, the five-star linebacker at Assai Park in the greater Houston area, the number 6 overall prospect in the country, according to our in-house rankings council, 24/7 Sports. Florida, LSU, Texas, believed to be his top three schools. Definitely sounds like a Florida-LSU battle at this point.
And you think this is largely NIL-driven?
I don't know what else it could be. I mean, he was committed to A&M. He took the visit to Florida, and then just a ton of Florida buzz. I just think for A&M I'm not surprised that he decommitted, and I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if he ended up anywhere else. But for him to decommit from A&M, and they're not even a factor right now. Now, could that change in the next 10 minutes? Yeah, but as of yesterday when he decommitted, that was not looked at as an option. A&M was not looked at as an option for him. It was those three schools, Texas, Florida, and LSU. Definitely sounds at this point like a Florida-LSU battle, but bottom line, if you're a Texas fan, don't hold your breath on Texas being able to flip Harold Perkins. So get over to Horns 24/7. We'll keep you updated on guys that, in terms of the 24/7 Sports rankings, the top 247 for 2022, where guys finish. All the networks have been updating their rankings, Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little bump for Ethan Burke. He is now a 24/7 Sports composite 4-star. So when we do blue chip ratios, I do blue chip studies. In the ensuing years, Ethan Burke is going to be a part of that now that he's a 4-star prospect. Really intriguing rise that he's had. Coming on strong with a senior year, Texas flipping in from Michigan. So Ethan Burke, 24/7 Sports composite, wow, 4-star prospect. Okay. Props to him. A couple other things before we get to finish up talking about Texas basketball and hearing from Brock Cunningham. On the baseball front, Longhorn Baseball, preseason number one team, the D1Baseball.com, top 25. Everybody does different rankings, but D1Baseball.com is Kendall Rogers and the crew there doing an outstanding job. Number one team in the country, Texas loading up on the preseason All-Big 12 team. Pete Hansen, preseason pitcher of the year. I don't think that really surprises anybody, although Tristan Stevens would make a really good case for that. Tristan Stevens is one of the first-team selections. Texas, in terms of pitchers on the first team, Pete Hansen and Tristan Stevens, two of the three starting spots. Aaron Nixon, one of the two reliever spots. And then Silas Ardoin at catcher, Mitchell Daly and Trey Faltini as infielders, and then Ivan Melendez as the DH. Those are your first-team, your preseason All-Big 12 selections. For the Longhorns, and one interesting, Craig, and I, because I just kept hearing about this guy in fall ball, and we'll hear about him more. You know, we'll get David Pierce on at some point as we get closer to the start of the season, which is only 23 days away, yeah, or something like that. Skylar Messinger, the KU transfer, just heard a lot of really good things about him in fall ball.
They love his work,
and just not a ton of holes on this Texas team, like we talked about, especially that pitching staff. It's weird thinking about you lose a first-round pick in Trey Madden and you might actually be better the following year, but I think that's thinking the maturity and the experience that a guy like Tanner Witt and a guy like Aaron Nixon got pitching in some high leverage situations as true freshmen, getting Pete Hansen back, being fortunate enough to get Tristan Stevens back. It's going to be a really fun year out of the dish with this baseball team. A couple of basketball recruiting notes. If you missed it yesterday, the two Texas signees, Artario Morris, the guard from Dallas Kimball, and Dylan Mitchell, the wing, five-star wing out of the state of Florida. Both those guys named McDonald's All-Americans yesterday. So Texas with two signees in the McDonald's All-American game with Dylan Mitchell and Artario Morris. Dylan Mitchell, Craig, starting to climb draft boards as a guy when people are doing their mock drafts for 2023. He's a guy that's starting to generate some first-round type buzz. He's had a really, really nice senior season.
Yeah, and I'd gotten this note yesterday with regard to these McDonald's All-Americans. This is believed, I think. I want to make sure I got the phraseology on this correct. This is believed to be the first time that really the first time since the 2006 recruiting class that featured Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine that the staff at Texas has had two of its fall signees earn roster spots on the McDonald's All-American team. Now, of course, they had two players in the 2016 game, Andrew Jones and Jared Allen. Andrew waited to the spring period to sign. He committed in December on his birthday, but didn't sign until the spring. And Jarrett was undecided, remember, until late May, early June. Mm-hmm. And then he just enrolled and did a scholarship agreement. So that wouldn't have counted. And then if you go back to 2010 with Tristan Thompson and Corey Joseph, Tristan committed and signed in the fall, but Corey
was late.
Undecided at the time of the McDonald's game. He signed after that game in the spring period with Texas. So really and truly, this is the first time in 16 years, the 2006 recruiting class that featured Kevin Durant and DJ Augustine, that the staff at Texas has had two of its fall signees earn roster spots on the McDonald's All-American team.
You had a very capable guard in Morris, and then Mitchell really gives this staff something that they were looking for, from what I was told, looking to upgrade this roster in terms of length and athleticism in a versatile forward. You got that in spades with Dylan Mitchell.
Yeah, absolutely. Last night, the Longhorns had play at both ends of the floor. That commanding win over TCU, 73-50. We talked a lot about it in the first hour of the program. Texas holding the Horned Frogs to 36% shooting. Did a really good job with their spacing and the way they attacked offensively. And then in addition to, and this is something you'll hear in this afternoon's reports in the Craig Wade Report, about, in addition to the fact that the starters, their performances are always going to be pleasing to a head coach. And Timmy Allen, 16 points, 8 boards. Marcus Carr got into double digits again. They had very solid play. Courtney Ramey had 14 points. Very solid play. Christian Bishop all the way around. But in addition to that, bench performances were really impressive. The bench outscored TCU significantly. You had Andrew Jones with 12 off the bench. You had Devin Askew with some real heady play at both ends of the floor. And then you had Brock Cunningham. He had 4 points. But Brock had 7 rebounds that ties his season high. 5 of those rebounds were offensive rebounds. And then he had a career high tying 4 assists. They used him all over the floor. He matched up against 6'11", 275-pound Eddie Lampkin a couple of times, as also with the guys out front. That was part and parcel of my conversation with Brock right after the game.
Another example of how everybody's really having to grind hard in this league on a night-in, night-out basis.
This is one of the deepest leagues in college basketball, and every night's a war. You got to go out and win the game. They're not going to give it to you.
How important was it to have you guys really render their press almost useless? You really did a great job breaking the press tonight.
It was important. TCU is a great team. They put a lot of pressure on the ball, and for us to break their really good defense, it meant a lot for our game plan.
Now, I noticed you're scrambling after balls, you're going after rebounds, and then occasionally you're matching up with Lampkin, the big guy. Do you enjoy a challenge like that?
Yeah, I view myself as one of the stronger guys on the team and someone that can guard 5 positions. So being able to go out there and show my versatility is something that I always love doing.
How does it feel? No, I mean, you guys have been in the grind. You got a real good team coming in on Saturday night, but it's out of conference play. Is it a nice mental break, so to speak?
No, because every game is important. You want to win every game at this level. Everybody wants to win, especially Coach Beard. So it's going to be just like every game this season, the biggest one.
Yeah, you want to get a quadrant one non-conference win, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the key there. Mm-hmm. Get a Q1 non-conference. And again, the Stanford win could transition into a Q1 win, depending on how the Cardinal plays out the rest of the season. Big game Stanford-USC Saturday night, and that's a makeup, a reschedule game, as the Cardinal plays at USC. And Chris Beard mentions a couple of weeks ago, we were talking, he said, we're into the business also of watching to see how the teams we played, how they do, and hope they continue to do well, especially the teams we've beaten. So there's that. So, yeah, that it represents a right-in-front-of-you opportunity to earn a Q1, Quadrant 1, which is important for NCAA tournament evaluation and seeding, non-conference victory. They don't have one of those yet. Maybe the Stanford one transitions into it, depending on how the Cardinal plays out its season. But right now they don't have one. They can get one Saturday night against Tennessee.
Here's some quick Brock Cunningham numbers, because I know we talk about his hustle, but he's actually, you mentioned with his rebounding, his passing last night, even he's not afraid to knock down an open shot. He's capable of doing that. He's making plays. I've got some plus-minus numbers, Craig, mm-hmm. for the last four games with him and without him. I want to thank one of our great posters on the flagship message board at Horns 24/7 for breaking this down. In the Iowa State game, the loss in Ames, Texas +2 in 17 minutes with Brock Cunningham on the floor. Without him, -11 in the 23 minutes he was not out there. They were plus-minus. They were 0 in the 3 minutes he played in the K-State loss, -1 in the 37 minutes without him. The win over Oklahoma State, +5 in the 11 minutes he played, 0 without him in the 29 minutes he was on the bench. And then last night, a little bit different, +6 with him on the floor, +17 without him. Again, it's probably the best team performance Texas has had all year. But, yeah, he's giving you the scrappy play, but he is making a difference. He is helping you win basketball games in more ways with just his skill in addition to his will and his grit.
That's all you can ask of him. All right, we'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower here on the Horn. Here on the program, a couple of things. Tonight, Texas women's basketball against Kansas State. K-State comes in with Aoka Lee, their center, who's the National Women's College Basketball Player of the Week. She scored 61 points in NCAA women's single game.
A 60 burger.
6-1. More than, I think, Brittany Griner, two or three others that got to the 60-point mark. She got at 61 when they beat OU.
Cheryl Miller never had a 60-point
nope.
game?
Nope. Huh. She had 25 the day before, game before. So in her last two games, she's averaging 43 points a game.
Is that good?
National Player of the Week. So Texas will be dealing with that tonight. You can hear it on 105.3 The Bat, 6:45 airtime, 7 o'clock tip-off, Texas against Kansas State at the Irwin Center. Somebody asked on the Specs text line, thoughts about Kevin Dunn, KD making his announcement. Of course, he's headed out. We'll have more on Kevin in the coming days. Yeah, we're gonna do that because he's meant so much to all of us for so many years. Where is he going? He's going into the private sector.
Yeah, taking a job outside of radio.
Yeah.
Snoop and I are going to have some fun. We got some gifts dropped off to us, some baseball, some 86 Tops traded sets, some good stuff in there. I'm going to break that thing up and get after it when I get to the house.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, we'll visit with Vic Schaefer as we'll review tonight's women's game and that challenge they have from Aoka Lee. And so we'll do that. Gene Watson, Assistant General Manager of the Royals, to mm-hmm. join us about Big Poppy going into the Hall of Fame. So we've got a lot to get to on the program tomorrow. More football talk, more Longhorns, more of it all. Coming up next, Shirts and Skins, Chad and Trey, for my co-host Jeff Howe, and for our man behind the glass, our producer Snoop Daniel. I'm Craig Way. Thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, right here on Light the Tower.